Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the Designer, Jason McKee in the building. Got a lot to get to on today's episode. PFF has dropped a couple of different rankings here. The running back ranking we talked about with J-Mac here. We love to get the insight on that. Also, they dropped one area that every team needs to improve. Couple of interesting names on that list. And of course, the dog of the week whenever J-Mac is here. We'll talk about all that and more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a five-star review. Y'all know what to do. Chicago Bears podcast is brought to you by the Advantage Dealer Group. Find your next Chevy, Toyota, or Acura and drive off in under 60 minutes or they'll make your first car payment. Also brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Las Vegas style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field. Exit 6 right off I-80-94. J-Mac, what's going on, my guy?
Good, man. Out on the road. Got orientation. Son's getting ready to head out to college. So, been on the road, and I'm actually in this business center at the hotel. So, if you guys see me do one of these, it's just me activating the motion sensor lights that's in here. So, don't be alarmed. I'm not going crazy. I'm okay. My mental well-being is good, you know. Excited to talk some Bears football.
We'll see exactly how good the mental well-being is after they see you do a couple of these. Yeah. Mine's going to be like, somebody check on this man. Right. Is he okay?
Why is J-Mac
listen,
spazzing
let's
out?
Hope that our mental is good from a defensive position. Let's hope that our mental is good from a defensive position this year. As the big question on the Chicago Bears right now, per PFF, is the play of Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards. They talk about Tremaine Edmonds saying that he earned just a 59.2 PFF grade, overall defensive grade in 2024, marking his second straight season of sub 60 figures. They also talk about how TJ Edwards also struggled, allowing the most yards in coverage among all linebackers. Now, I thought that TJ played much better last season than what Tremaine did, but I think a lot of that is predicated off of the defensive line play. J-Mac, when you look at one of the questions in this linebacker room, is it more that these linebackers have to step their game up and have to improve what they've done, or is it more that this defensive line getting more pressure on the quarterback will make their lives a lot easier?
I mean, it all works together. I think when you look at the talent level of a Tremaine Edmonds and you base that upon, you know, you can't help but to overlook the fact that, you know, he was a tackling machine during his time in Buffalo. Always, you know, every year he's one of the top guys in the NFL in terms of tackles. And then he comes here as a free agent and doesn't have that type of year that he had in Buffalo, which made the Bears covet him so much in free agency to bring him here. So that's definitely puzzling. A guy who has, like, you know, the measurables that you want from a linebacker. He's got range. Obviously, he's got the speed and the length that they look for in running backs. I mean, in linebackers, I'm sorry. So it's definitely puzzling, definitely underachieving. I think that can contribute to a lot of things. It's the defensive scheme. It's a lot of things that can contribute to that. And then we look at TJ Edwards, a guy who's been a tackling machine, who, you know, was rewarded a contract, you know, extension because of his play in terms of being one of the guys that has been one of the leaders of this defense, one of the vocal leaders, and his production shows as well in terms of tackles. But we know one thing that, you know, TJ has struggled with, and I'm sure he would admit to that, and I know he's been working on that, is in coverage. And, you know, we see a lot of teams do a lot of things to get running backs or tight ends matched up on TJ Edwards just because they know that could be a mismatch for them. So TJ knows that's something he has to work on. You know, Dennis Allen being a really good defensive mind and defensive coordinator, he understands what each and every one of his players' limitations is right now. And that's what they've been doing in the offseason, right? They've been implementing a scheme based upon their personnel. So they've been, you know, obviously they're going to use all the strengths to their ability, but the main thing that they're focused on is how can we make their weaknesses, how can we enhance that, you know, their weaknesses to make them stronger, but also not put them in positions so that offenses and offensive coordinators can take advantage of them. So, you know, I think that, you know, I think we'll see a change in that, you know, with Dennis Allen at the helm. I think that there's a lot of different factors that also contribute to that as well. I think, you know, there's another possibility of Daniel Hardy, you know, possibly being in that linebacker room. Noah Sewell's a guy who's in that linebacker room we haven't seen a lot of, mainly on special teams. He's had the injury bug since he's arrived here in Chicago. I think that position group as a whole, when you look at the talent, especially from Tremaine and TJ, you wonder why. Like, hey, that's a group that should be higher on that list, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think the concern is that they haven't lived up to that potential, and now you're coming to the end, at least of Tremaine Edmonds' contract.
Yeah.
And is he going to be able to actually get back to that point? I think, and let me ask you this, J-Mac, because to me, this is a what a lot of the fans may think, right? Is Tremaine Edmonds the product of being utilized in the wrong positions, being put in the wrong positions by Matt Eberflus, who I think is a pretty good DC, and maybe Dennis Allen can fix that? Or do you see it more as a Tremaine problem where you just got to be better in some of these situations in coverage? You got to be better when tackling, fall the right direction. You know what I mean? Don't let guys run you over for the first down. Where do you see kind of the struggles, I guess the blame for the struggles lying right now?
Yeah, I think it's, when you look at last year, I think it's both. It's definitely on Tremaine as well. You know, missed a lot of tackles. We saw him miss tackles. You know, and I'm sure that's just a basic fundamental. You know, that's fundamental football. I mean, football's three things. It's blocking, it's catching, and it's tackling. When you really evaluate it, that's football. That's the basic fundamentals of football. And, you know, I'm sure that's been, obviously, every year for a defense, you know, tackling is a fundamental that they work on every single day. It's what we call an EDD, an everyday drill, that every individual, you know, position coach has a time in his individual period in which they're working on tackling. Whether you're a cornerback, a safety, a linebacker, defensive lineman, you're working on tackling. And, you know, I know Tremaine knows he's got to get better. This defense as a whole has to get better in terms of, you know, being able to be sound and sure tacklers. So, and it's also, I think, based upon the scheme, and it's one thing to where, you know, if you have a D-line, a bigger D-line, in which you want them to be more of, you know, two gappers, right, where they're going to eat up linemen and stuff like that and let the linebackers roam free and make tackles, or are you going to be more of a penetrating style defensive line where you're going to try to get upfield and you're going to try to play the run while you're rushing the quarterback, right, which can expose your linebackers a little bit to some of these offensive linemen. So it all, I think a lot of those things, you know, have to do with the production of the linebackers. But at the end of the day, if you're a linebacker, like, you know, there's been a few times where we've seen Tremaine last year have the ability to make a tackle, or a tackle in the open field didn't make it. So, you know, these players know exactly where they stand. You know, these conversations have already been had with these coaches. They've shown the film of the good and bad with each and every one of their players, and they understand what they have to get better at. And that's the thing. When you're an NFL player, right, there's – nothing's going to be sugar-coated. Most coaches are going to be brutally honest. They're not going to tell you you're a good tackler when you're not. You know what I'm saying? And you understand exactly where you have to get better. So let's hope that, you know, Tremaine has put a lot of emphasis on that this offseason. Not just him, but this defense as a whole.
Yeah, the entire defense has to step up in that regard, because we saw way too many, I mean, sacks that should have been sacks where you're – it's just you and the quarterback. Just grab them. You miss that, right? The running back getting past you. You miss those moments. I think that goes for, like you said, the defense as a whole, not just the linebacker room, I should say. How many times did somebody just blow right past Jervon Dexter or right past Montez Sweat? You know, there were all of those moments last season that I think play into some of the struggles, especially in the run game that we saw last season. PFF also dropped this, J-Mac, and hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. They ranked the running back rooms in totality. Mm-hmm. I thought this was very interesting because we've talked a lot about the running back here on the show. We've talked about DeAndre Swift. We've talked about adding Kyle Manungai here. Where PFF has them ranked right now, 30th in the NFL, the 30th best, I guess, running back room, or worst, however you want to put that, in the league. And here's what they had to say about it as I scroll down here. I lost the page there. Here it is. If there's a remaining weakness for Chicago's offense after a stellar offseason, it's their running back unit. DeAndre Swift averaged just 3.8 yards per carry last season while earning a 65.7 PFF rushing grade. Roschon Johnson garnered a 76 PFF rushing grade, but he only tallied 136 carries through two NFL seasons. The Bears also didn't draft a running back until the seventh round, picking up Rutgers' Kyle Manungai. J-Mac, let's start it off here. Do you feel like the Bears' biggest weakness right now coming into this season is the running back room? Or with an improved offensive line and improved play caller, do you see that being a lot better?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're going to look at that as the obvious weakness just because they didn't address that like they did other positions in free agency. And based upon the season that DeAndre Swift and that room had, as a group, you know, was underachieving. So we're going to look at that. So, it all remains to be seen. You know, I think that, hey, you know what? PFF does a great job. At the end of the day, like, I mean, hey, whatever. You know what I mean? This scheme is – it's a totally different offense, totally different guy at the helm calling the plays. You got a revamped offensive line on paper that should be better. Like I said before, they still got to go out there on the grass and actually produce and play and open up holes for these running backs. And then you got a different running back coach in that room. And no shade to Chad Morton. I love Chad Morton. I love the energy that Coach Morton brought to that room. I felt like he had those guys coached up really well. I just think that now, you know, if Eric Bieniemy, who is a former offensive coordinator who comes from under the tutelage of a Andy Reid, you know what I'm saying? I think that's going to help this offense as well, because not just having Ben Johnson's creative mind, now you can sprinkle in a little bit of Eric Bieniemy's creative mind, especially in the run game. I think it's going to help this offense tremendously. And, yeah, at the same time, we may not have some of the bigger names in our running back room. We may not have got a Nick Chubb or some of these guys that, you know, everybody was calling for the Bears to go out there and sign in free agency. We do have a very capable back, in my opinion, DeAndre Swift, that has the ability to do whatever you want him to do offensively and whatever, you know, Ben Johnson and this offense is going to require him to do. And that's whether it's running the football in between the tackles, out on the perimeter, being able to split him out wide in the passing game, get him matched up on a linebacker to create some mismatches and get him opportunities in the passing game. And I think when you've seen DeAndre Swift excel last year, right, it was the creative ways in which the Bears got him the football, right? He wasn't just running the ball in between the tackles. He was, you know, in the screen game. They were putting him out wide and getting him the ball out in space to be able to use his speed and create in space. And I think that's how you got to use DeAndre Swift, right? The more creative you can get in terms of getting him touches in this offense, the more effective he'll be, right? And I'm not saying he's going to be a guy that can, you know, you want to hand the ball off 15 times and have him run power or duo or something. You know, some type of, you know, running scheme in between the tackles that many times. I don't think he's that type of running back. I think he's the type of running back that he can provide, you know, a spark. And we've seen it. He has the ability to make those splash plays, those explosive plays, when given time and when given an opportunity. And the biggest thing with him, and not just him, but all these running backs, is they got to stay true to the aiming points and the nuances or the details of each run. Right, you can't go out there and try to create on your own. Stick to the principles of each and every run that Eric Bieniemy and Ben Johnson has detailed in this running game in order to really be effective. And then he's going to have to count on his offensive line as well. Not just the offensive line, but, you know, we talked about it, Pat, the receivers too. Like, you got to be out there, you know, if you're push cracking the safety, you got to go make that block. If you're on a corner, you got to go make that block, because those are the guys responsible for creating those explosive plays in the run game.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'll ask you this, J-Mac. When I look at this running back room, the one question mark that I think is there, and it's one of those things that won't be proven true until the season gets here, until you see guys actually go out there and making plays. But J-Mac, is Kyle Manunga just completely being disrespected here? I get seventh round, but he was first team all Big Ten. Last time I checked, the Big Ten's a pretty good college conference. He had 1,200 rushing yards, 8 touchdowns 2 years ago. He had 1,200 rushing yards, 13 touchdowns a year ago. He had 1,300 all-purpose yards the last two seasons. And he's been second team all Big Ten and first team all Big Ten. But because he's got a seventh round label, we just go, yeah, they also got that dude. Is he being disrespected a little bit here for his college accomplishments?
No. Who cares? Nobody cared. Prove it. This is the NFL. This ain't the Big Ten. You know, this, none of that stuff matters. And everybody has those accolades coming in the NFL. Ashton Gentry's a guy who nobody cares what he did, you know, at Boise State. What are you going to do this year? You know, can you bring your game? Is your game going to translate to NFL level? Your seventh round pick, you still got to make the team. Nobody's going to crown you and say you're on the team or you're the number two back. Roschon Johnson's still there. Like, you got a lot of work to do. Yeah. So at the end of the day, yes, those accolades and those things that you did in the Big Ten while you were at Rutgers gave you an opportunity to make an NFL roster, but you still got to make an NFL roster. So there's no disrespect. It is what it is. You know, we've got a seventh round running back who we have to, you know, he's got to go out there and perform in practice every day. He's got to go out there and perform in the preseason, and he's got to go out there and try to take advantage of every opportunity he has to make this roster. He's a 7-round pick. You're not a lock to make the roster just because we didn't address running back in the offseason. Because guess what? Ryan Poles and company, those guys' job is to continue to evaluate guys on other rosters, potential training camp cuts in terms of whatever position is, you know, they need, and those guys can be taken, and they can add another guy from another team at any time, you know, based upon what our position group is doing, what that running back room is doing. So if Kyle Manunga is not producing, if he's not, you know, going out there in practice and putting together a good string of practices and performances, if he's not producing in preseason, guess what? They'll go out there and find a guy, right? There's some other running back rooms that are stocked in which they can say, hey, you know, we can bring one of those guys over and he can help us. So, you know, I think when you look at all those accolades, that means nothing. You know, does it translate? And we've seen a lot of running backs in this league that have had higher grades than Kyle Manunga, whose game has not translated. So, you know, I don't think that's disrespectful at all. I think it's just telling it how it is. You know, right now you're looking at a running back room that has DeAndre Swift, who underachieved last year. Roschon Johnson, who, like you said, hasn't had a lot of carries the last 2 years. Why? Because he's been injured, right? He's been in and out of the lineup. Kyle Manunga, you know, you've got Travis Homer, who's a special teams maven, but hasn't had a lot of opportunities, you know, carrying the football. So that's just where this running back room is right now.
Yeah, a little Ian Wheeler action may get at it, although Eric Bieniemy been cussing Ian Wheeler out for blocking. I don't know if he's if he's gonna get his opportunity right now.
He's cussing everybody.
He been looking. He's like, get your hands down, now get into him. Come on, darling.
All that takes is for a young running back, right, to actually put together all the techniques and fundamentals in terms of pass protection and de-cleat a linebacker one time to build that confidence up, right? And now you're saying, well, I can do this. I trust in my technique. I'm actually listening to what Coach Bieniemy has been saying, what he's been teaching us, and now I put it into action, right? And now you have that confidence. So it just takes, you know, just that one time for you to understand, like, hey, I can do this. But it's not about you believing in that you can do it in terms of a pass protector. It's about want to. Right, and a lot of times running backs, they want the ball, they want to go out and run routes, but nobody wants to pass protect. You know, it's about want to, and that's the main thing. We look at Roschon Johnson, he wants to pass protect. He wants to be physical when he's running the football, right? We've seen Roschon Johnson, right, run downhill. Instead of making a guy miss in a phone booth, he runs him over because he's seeking out contact. Same thing in pass protection, right? I'm either going to whip your ass or the linebacker's going to kick my ass. That's pass protection.
Yeah. It's going to be, I think that is one of the things that will be interesting to see if it translates from college to the pros for Kyle Manunga. He was an elite pass pro guy in college. But these dudes are a little bit bigger here at the pro level. It's not, you don't have a future sports athletic trainer coming down the middle trying to hit you. You got an NFL linebacker trying to take your quarterback's head off. I think this team as a whole is going to be interesting in that running back room to take a look at. Let us know how you guys feel in the comments below. We'll be down there talking with you guys as well. The one other thing I think about the running back room that I guess is the big question, right, J-Mac, to finish this topic out here is, if you get into the season and it's not a strength for you, is that something that we see the Bears need to make a move to improve? Because we saw what the offense looked like last year with minimal run game. We've seen what the offense has looked like the last couple of years without David Montgomery in it. It changes the dynamic of your team drastically when you can't run the football.
Yeah, like I said before, like, you know, there's the pro scouts, right? Their job is to evaluate NFL rosters. They go scout rosters. They go, you know, pre-scout opponents and give a detailed breakdown. But they also look at a roster in its totality, and they say, hey, you know what? This guy could be a potential cut, right? Because they have too many running backs. This guy's a good running back. He could be a potential cut. Would he fit our criteria in terms of his character as a player? Would he fit our criteria in terms of what we're doing in the run game based upon his style of play, right? So they have all of this information. They're going to continue to gather this information even more so. When preseason hits, right, they're going to look at all the film and say, hey, what running backs out there, you know, may be a numbers cut, right, where they just can't fit them on the roster. If they try to put them on a practice squad, we can pluck them from a practice squad. So they're going to have all those things ready so that way if that opportunity presents itself, they can make a, you know, well-educated, evaluated move and bring those guys onto this roster if they feel that he's a fit in the locker room but also a fit in the scheme.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. We'll see what the Bears need to do in that running back room. Hopefully this ends up not being an issue. DeAndre Swift is a 1,200-yard rusher. He's 4.8 yards per carry. And, you know, the signing worked out. That's the goal that we want to see happen here in Chicago. Let's finish out the show with this, J-Mac. Dog of the week. We've had some interesting dogs this week, my guy. We saw a little NBA Finals. We know you've been tapped in on the Finals action. J-Mac, who's your dog of the week this week, my guy?
Yeah, I was, you know, going with what you said, just – the Pacers in general. I think, you know, you got to have that dog mentality, right? When you had a underwhelming performance in KC, an OKC, and then, you know, they have an opportunity to close the finals out on your home court. You know, everybody's talking about Tyrese Halliburton, you know, his injury, and he's not been performing up to standards. And then you go out there and you put on a great performance, and you force a game seven. So I look at it in terms of my dog of the week is the Indiana Pacers team. You know, as a whole, everybody stepping up, making big plays, hitting timely threes, playing great defense. That crowd was energized. I know it was rocking over there in Indianapolis. So it was good to see. You know, it was good because we get to see a game seven as well as basketball fans. So that made it even more sweet. And it's going to be must-see TV for this game seven coming up.
Yeah, listen, you went with the good dog this week. I got to go with the bad dog. You talk about a game seven, OKC with their backs against the wall here.
Yeah.
Because of one of the worst finals performances in NBA history. And I'm going to give you the praise when you deserve the praise. He scored 40 points the game before.
Yeah.
He was elite. He was dominant defensively. He was rebounding the basketball. Jalen Williams with a negative 40 plus minus, the worst plus minus in NBA Finals history. J-Mac, I'm assuming you had some money on Jalen Williams,
man,
the other day.
Bro, listen, I had Jalen Williams with 20 points. All you had to do was give me 20. Everybody else did what they're supposed to do, and you got 16. and then they took him out in the fourth quarter. I was so mad. Tried to hit the cash out button. They wasn't going. It was like, no, sir. I tapped cash out. It was like, no, sir. I was like, what? How is that even possible on this app? But Jalen Williams, bro. Man, like, oh, my goodness.
You hit cash out and nah, bro, popped up on the screen?
I kept tapping cash out because I saw them, you know, getting ready to sit in the fourth quarter. They were down by like 30 at that point. I was like, oh, yeah, it's around me, cash out.
Yeah.
I typed cash out. It said, no, sir. I was like, what? I was like, how is that possible right there?
Hey man, let us know y'all dog of the week down in the comments below. Game seven, first game seven since 2016 is gonna be a fun one. Hopefully we have a very competitive game seven. I hate when it's like, well, this is over and it's halftime, so hopefully it's a very competitive game seven. But we'll keep you guys posted with everything else coming soon. Training camp dates have been announced. July 19th and July 22nd is when rookies and veterans will report. We've got August 5th and August 13th for when the joint practices will be. So it's going to be very fun to tap in and get to training camp. But we got a few more weeks ahead of you. But we got you covered on everything here on the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. Leave a 5-star view. Y'all know what to do. Ladies and gentlemen, for Jason McKee, the great Jason McKee. It's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bet not. One love. Peace.